Us to really truly show how it's really God who has been doing all this in Haiti, we have to start at the beginning. So even if you heard our story before, we are going to remind you again, because we can't talk about what's happening now without showing what's happened before. And we do love questions, talking during this time. We love that. We love that being interactive and knowing what your hearts are too. So I'll start with my story is that I'm from Iowa, just northwest Iowa, not very far away from your Orange City, Iowa. And I went to college in Northwestern, and I graduated, and then I got an internship. I got an internship in Florida, year long. And part of the internship is they send interns overseas because it's for missions. It's for agriculture missions, actually. And they sent me to Haiti. So right there, you could see that it wasn't my choice. It wasn't my wisdom. It was just God sending me there and me just blindly going, okay, I'll go wherever they send me. And I went to Haiti. And the Haiti that I went to at that time, which was in 1996, was a Haiti that it was only 65 miles from the airport to where we were serving. And it took us 12 hours to get there. There was no running water. So bucket showers and outhouses. There was no electricity. So that meant sun goes down, we go to bed. Sun gets up early in the morning, we're up too. No television, no computers, no internet, no emails, none of those things. Went there, and that wasn't intimidating to me. I thought that was pretty cool. Eating rice and beans most of the time, almost every single day, that was not intimidating to me. I liked that. Went there and just fell in love with the people there. Just fell in love with the people. Learned so much. I learned from the people so very much. I learned about joy that surpasses understanding, hope that isn't not a hope in circumstances, but a hope in something God providing for them. Learned also about the other side too. Learned how people are lost, how people are in desperate need of their Savior and knowing more about God, so they don't worship in the voodoo and everything. So I decided to stay there. I decided to stay there. Felt God calling me to be there. Had no idea what God was going to do with my life there. I just felt like he wanted me to be there. Everything was anxious. Everything was awful. If I thought about going back to the States, when I thought about staying and not even knowing what I was going to do, but the thought of staying, that gave me peace. That gave me peace. So here I stayed in Haiti. And this is all before I met, you know, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome right here. I thought I was going to have to be in Haiti by myself and be a single missionary. That was okay. God said he was going to provide. God was going to provide everything. But then I did meet Jean-Jean. And I met Jean-Jean, and long story short, we fell in love and got married in Haiti. And then we started serving in Haiti, too. But one thing that we saw very clearly is that we needed more. John had always wanted to go to college and wanted to go to seminary. So we had a chance to go. So we came back to the States. And back in 2000, 2004, I went to seminary. Well, then we go back to the States and then seminary. And now all our Haitian friends and a lot of our American friends too, they would all say, they got a chance to get out of country. They got a chance to go back to the States. There's no way they're going to come back to Haiti. And yes, I did marry him when he was 135 pounds. And it's a little bit more kind of like the hamburgers, kind of like those kind of things. But even though we did enjoy our time here and everything, God was working on us the whole time. And Jenna always came back from seminary and always talking about how I've got to share this down with people down in Haiti. We need to tell people about this. So we looking for ways to get back there. We're looking ways to get back in Haiti. Again, we had no idea what we were supposed to do exactly. We could have gone with a lot of different other sending organizations, but we just felt very, very strongly God wanted us to go down there and teach the words of God. God, you had a chance to give Jean-Jean the chance to learn more about him in the seminary. We wanted to do that in Haiti. So we are looking at ways to get back there, and God is putting this urgency on us. You need to go back now. We had no support. We had no pledges raised or anything. We were very young and we were working while Jenna was in seminary, but there's not a lot of savings or anything like that either. My mom, bless her heart, she gave us 3 months of support because at that time we had Carrie and Tana, which were now they're nice and old and everything. Oops, they were on there already. Now they're this age and everything, but back then they were 2 years old and 6 years old. So mom said, oh, I better give them some kind of money so they can feed my grandbabies. We went down there with our kids, and we just said, okay, the only thing we have is teach the words of God. We're probably not going to be able to stay there for a long time. We don't have the pledges. We don't have the support, so we'll probably have to start something and get it going, and then we'll come back to the States, and if we have to work and send money that way and funnel money through that way, that's the way we'll do it. So we started to do that. I told you about the living conditions, and the living conditions without electricity and water and running water was a challenge with young kids and everything, but they just thought it was an adventure and everything. But the one thing that was even more difficult than the physical inconveniences was that we were living in an area that was full of voodoo. Voodoo, if you don't know what it is, simply is worshiping Satan. It's an animalistic religion, so it's people believing there's evil spirits and inanimate objects, and these evil spirits have to be appeased through ceremonies and fetishes and different things like that. But it's people lost. They're lost in fear. It's Satan controlling people through fear and superstition. It's Satan giving lies and telling people that they have to do these things in order to be safe. All these, and basically, we all know Satan is a god of harm. He's not a god, but Satan is always going to harm us. Is always going to harm us. So, we were in this area, and we said, okay, we're going to teach the words of God, and we didn't have anything kind of infrastructure. So John started with 12 men in our front yard, and I can show that a little further. Started with 12 men on our porch. Our house didn't even have a cement floor at the time. And they came from all over just to listen to the words of God. They came, walked hours, stayed overnight at our place, endured my cooking over the charcoal fire. These guys were committed. They wanted to know more about Him. And God blessed that. God just took that foundation and then turned this area that used to be a place, well, it still is a place where you can't find on any map. You can't find Kaima on any map of Haiti. If you look in Google Earth and from pictures back then, this picture would have been totally bare. Nothing was there. But God took those foundation of people giving their lives to Christ and believing and changing in hearts, and that's when our ministry could start to grow. If we would have came down there with our own ideas and would have came down there and started dealing with the physical poverty, dealing with the kids who are hungry, all those things that are necessary, that are big deal, big things. But if we would have started there, I truly, truly believe what happened now would not have been able to be produced. It happened because the foundation was laid and people's hearts were changed. Then we got to do all these other things. So as we go through our presentation, we just always have to lay that down to make people understand. This kind of development in a third world country is very difficult. It is hard for us to get sand. We can't go to a nearby store and get sand or nearby quarry. We have to go to the river. And if there's not been a lot of rains, there's not sand that's been washed down. It is difficult to find transportation. It's very difficult. We don't have any ready mix or what do you call those cement makers or anything. It is by hand that you do everything. Riley's been down there. John has been down there. You guys, Doug has been down there. You have to do everything by hand. So this kind of development and what's been happening is only because of that.
Yeah, like Chrissy just said, to see that what the Lord has done, I talked to some of you last night about MAF. It's a missionary aviation fellowship. It's a small aircraft that fly missionaries all over the world. They got this company that does this. And they decided to send a couple to us, to stay with us. And way in the beginning, we started that year 2005, February 8, 2005. In December 2005, they sent a couple with their daughter to stay with us. But in the community, voodoo, it's the thing. And there was a huge voodoo ceremony, because in December, it's the month that they do the same thing. We are talking about Jesus Christ who came into this world to save this world, and they themselves doing the same thing on the other side, worshiping Satan. Huge. And Michael said, if MAF want to send us here, to stay here. Man, we are not, we signed that contract with them. We go back to Tennessee and find something else to do. I'm a pilot, I can do any other thing. I felt like so bad about this. And I remember that I came to evangelize, to preach the gospel, and there was a group of 50 men worshiping at that night. I felt like I should go out there and witness to those guys. I talked to Christy about it, Michael and Karen and the house, and they said, you are going there? I said, yeah. I felt like I should go. And opened that door. There's people that watch overnight. One guy said, where are you going? It's midnight. I said, I'm going to share the gospel with those people. He said, you are on your own business there. You will get killed. Do you know that? And there was another guy that said, hey, what's on us? I learned about this. Jesus is more powerful than the enemy. Let's go. And let's go there. And take my Bible. And we went to that place. More than 50 men worshiping. And drunk, as you can imagine. And then get there. And then the master said, do you come to stop our ceremony? You know that we don't do anything with Christians. You get your own church. I said, I grew up here. I wanted to tell you guys one new way of life. And the master said, talk quick. And then I opened my Bible, and read John 3:16. All of you know that verse. And then finally, I fold up my Bible, and everybody just take their drums. They went home, empty. And then the next morning, the master came to the house. Said, I want to know more about what you talked about last night. If eternity you talk about, it's for me too as a witch doctor? And I said, sure. It's for all of us who believe in Christ Jesus. And he gave his life to Christ. And that's what the beginning of voodoo, witch doctor come to know Christ in our community. Now today there was 29 witch doctors this morning. Not witch doctor no more. Christian used to be witch doctor worshiping with us today. So God is at work. And now we go to our place. No more voodoo drums. It's done. And the missionaries, the couple missionaries that used to get so mad about this, and they felt like, wow, look at what the Lord has done. And today they are serving not only in Haiti, but they are serving somewhere. I'm not allowed to tell you, but they are undercover somewhere in the Middle East, serving the Lord there. Their daughter that used to be 2 years old said, Dad, if that's happened, that's going to happen anywhere in the world. Let's go somewhere else and tell that story. So they are serving in the Middle East somewhere. So God is at work. So my friend, for what you did yesterday, knowing that we are all in it together, like our brother says, keep on sharing this good news with other people. Keep on sharing with them. Keep on sharing.
So one of our favorite ministries is, our most important ministries, is that we want to teach the words of God. That's our main goal. We're in the very beginning, and that it remains to be what we need to do now. We have seen over 15 years, we just celebrated 15 years last week of being in Haiti with UCI, and we've noticed, you know, the words of John, Jen, and Chrissy, you know, they will pass by, they will pass through, but the words of God, they stay, and they change people's lives. We've seen it with the witch doctors, we've seen it all over the place. That is what is needed. So we do that through various different ministries. We didn't actually want to start a church when we came there. We were going to work alongside of other churches, help the lay pastors. John still does that. He has pastoral training every Tuesday where the men come from all over and are learning from the Bible, learning about church administration, everything like that. It's a great way for the churches to network together and to encourage each other. It's gone from 12 guys on our porch to 60 different churches that have been participating. And that means a large portion of Haiti is being reached out. It's really cool. We also do a lot of evangelism. It started with evangelizing to the witch doctors. For a lot of people, people that are in voodoo, it's intimidating to go out to evangelize to them. Some people are scared. They're scared for that they'll be harmed because of that, and that's a real scare as well. Also, there's some people with the mentality of, oh, they made their bed, let them sleep in it. You know, they decided to worship that. Why even go out there? But all those things are false. We need to go out there and preach. So we started a church, how many years ago now? 8 years ago. Because once we started having some witch doctors come to Christ, what happens all the time is that these witch doctors have followers, kind of like a pastor, though I don't want to say that they're like a pastor, but they have followers that have been following them. And so when they see the change in life that the witch doctor has by receiving Christ, becoming a new creation, they want that. You can imagine, they want what they see, that change. So they start coming to church too. So we had a bunch of people who needed to be built up in the faith, discipled. They thought all the different churches in town, they were intimidated, they didn't have the right clothes, the right shoes, they didn't have a Bible, they didn't know where Genesis was in the Bible. They were a little intimidated. So we felt God was pressing our hearts, we need to start a church. So we started a church, and we wanted to be open, very open to people. Come as you are, learn more about God. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't made that decision yet, come anyway, find out about him, ask questions. And God blessed that. God blessed that, and it just expanded. We would have men that came over the mountains, and I remember one time John was preaching, and he's up in the pulpit, and right dab front row right there, because, you know, everybody's like this. We have some people are front rows, and most people are in the back row, right, just like everybody else. But here's this gentleman we'd never seen before, right smack dab in the front row. And John always says, do we have any visitors here? Oh, sir, I see you're here. We're so glad. Where do you come from? Oh, I come from Paul Marie. And that's over the mountains, island mountains. They're not the Rockies, but, you know, you do have to cross them. They go, wow, that's great. You came here. He goes, yep. He goes, John says, well, are you a brother in Christ? And he says, no, I'm a witch doctor. And we're all like, in the middle of church? Whoa. Well, okay, well, we're really glad you're here. Would you like to know more about Christ? And he says, well, I better. It's been so many weeks, and I keep getting these visions, and God, it must be God saying that I need to give up being a witch doctor and go to church. And we're like, well, that's wonderful. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to have you be with us. And he said, well, I don't know. How am I going to do that? I'm a witch doctor. That's all I've known. How am I going to take care of my kids? I have 5 wives and 15 kids. How am I going to take care of them if I don't do being a witch doctor anymore? All these wonderful things that you don't learn in seminary, right? How to deal with those things. But just working with him, going to the back to the Bible, working through these areas, helping him to follow Christ wholeheartedly, helping the whole situation. Well, he keeps already coming to church, and then the people that used to follow him into getting curses and fetishes and everything like that started coming across the mountain and coming to our church. And so we started a church in their area. Same thing with another gentleman, another witch doctor that was in another area. And this guy was the boogeyman. He was the guy that everybody was afraid of, that mom would say, if you don't behave yourself rightly, I'm going to send you to Nelson, and Nelson's going to take care of you. You know, make sure kids behave themselves. But Nelson was also touched by God after Jean-Jean and Dabu evangelized to him and talked to him. And he was all like, nah, not for me. They left a Bible with him, and then one night, He could not go to sleep because he kept on getting a dream that says, open that Bible, open that book. And he's like, no way. And opened that book, could not sleep. Started to drink. Maybe if I get drunk, then I'll pass out and I won't have to think about this. Couldn't get drunk. God kept on saying, open that book. And he opened it and started reading. He opened and started reading Galatians where it says, do not mock God, you will reap what you have sown. And that's the verse that really spoke to him. And really got a contention of his heart, came to John, asked him about this, started going to church. The community where he was, they saw him as the boogeyman. Now they saw him as someone they wanted to follow. They came to church. They started coming to church in mass. I had kids who had never been in church, and they were fighting in church. They were fist fighting in church. And we had to tell people and explain about the love of God. And then we start another church over there. So it's just really amazing. God had this huge plan for our area. We are very glad that we got to be a part of it. It does not have to do anything with our efforts, our wisdom at all. We got to be a part of it, and we just want to share with you guys how much God is working and continues to work all over.
Then we do a bunch of the youth ministry, as you all churches does this, the youth ministry. It's been amazing because there was no youth program in Haiti, but Christy just said, we need to do that. Because I grew up in a church where the youth program used to be the thing that we do. And she started that. And now we got a young pastor that take that over, with a lot of hard work to work with teen. I have been a teen, and you have been one too, but he took that on and keep on going. And then we got the widows in our church who help all of those people. It's been amazing to see. We have an honor program. I don't know if you guys do that here, but with the little kids, it's been amazing seeing those little one will stand there and 20 Bible verses and just eat that up. So just to be able to give them the opportunity to do this, that's fun to see.
I love telling stories because there's so many. After 15 years, of course, you just get all these stories. For Awana, to me, I just love seeing the kids just reciting God's words. That is just so neat. But you see lives transformed too. And Fitcher's not up there, but I was telling Dean about this. And Edda, is Edda here? I don't see her. But last night I was talking about Adlinson. I had this little boy. He's 13 years old. He came from a very impoverished background. Family didn't have enough at all to feed him, and so he was very stunted in growth. He was seriously this tall. He still is. Everybody always thought he was 7 years old, but he was 13 and grew up in a non-Christian environment. Well, he came to our Christmas program. Now, our Christmas program is a big deal in our area. There's not a lot of different programs, and we don't have movie theaters, nothing like that. So we have a Christmas program, and we have a four-hour-long Christmas program. All these people come for the community to watch it. We have people standing everywhere outside the church because it's open and they can see inside. It's a big deal. Well, Adlinson was one of the kids that came, and he just kind of snuck in with my kids. There's 250 of the kids, so it's pretty easy to sneak in there, right? Well, he also snuck in this bottle of alcohol that he got from home, and he thought he was going to cause some mischief. He was drinking. He was trying to pass it around to the kids. Well, pretty soon you get someone that comes, Madame Jean-Jean, Adlinson's there, and he's got alcohol in the middle of this program. Oh, no. Here I am trying to herd shepherds and angels and trying to get this all keep working and everything, and I have this issue. I went, I know what I should do. So I took Adlinson, and I said, Adlinson, we can't do that. Can't do that here. What I'm going to do is going to have you sit next to Pastor John, because Pastor John is right in the front row, right? He's always in the front row. Put Adlinson right next to Pastor Johnson. Master Johnson puts his hand on Adlinson's knee, keeps him under control the whole Christmas program. Well, Adlinson watched the Christmas program. And I don't know if it was that or something else, but he started coming to church. And he was a troublemaker. Oh, yeah, he was all that. But he also started coming to a WANA program. Guess who my best Bible memorizer is? Adlinson. He not only can just recite these verses, he also is a boy that now comes and stays after and helps me clean up. He's a boy that comes in, volunteers to pray. He's now a follower of Christ, and he never see the alcohol in him again. He's changed. Little kids, old kids, people in voodoo, all over. It's just so neat to see that, what God's words can do. I also do things with sports ministry. I love sports, and went to Haiti. I played all the sports except for soccer, and then God sent me to the country where soccer is the only thing they play. So, okay, well, I guess can't we do... That's all right. I can still enjoy watching and everything. Well, one thing we found out with sports is that there's a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers, I can't get them to church. Hey, come on to church. And no, that's not for me. But ask them, hey, do you want to get on the volleyball court? You want to go on the soccer field? You want to learn how to play basketball? There's some interest there. And while we're teaching about the basics of volleyball, for my case, that's what we mostly developed, we're also teaching about, do you want to know what God says about working together and encouraging each other? Don't you think God's idea of encouraging each other works better as a team rather than putting each other down and getting all hot-headed? What do you think works better? Just different things like that. There's many, many ways you can incorporate this. So we've had a lot of success in my volleyball program. I have hundreds, literally hundreds of kids who come. I'm still the only coach, which is hard, but we love it. And I love these pictures, because around the bottom and to the right, you can see my championship teams. I've had, last year, my under 15-year-old boys got runner-ups in the nation. My under 15-year-old girls, my under 17-year-old boys got national championships. This is a Hoosier story. This is Ho-Dink Kaima. No one knows. Everybody, when we go there, what do they always say? Where is Kaima? Where are you guys coming from? They had no idea. We were playing against Port-au-Prince schools, all these top league schools. These schools where...
Are you going back to Port? He said, if we can find anything in this area, there was no way we are going back to Port-au-Prince. And we start that school with 120 kiddos, and today it's 1,300 kids in school. Until today, all of the teachers stay. They keep on pulling family back and bring other teachers. 1,300 are being there today. And most of those kids, a lot of those kids, you guys supported a lot of those kids there too. We want to thank you. Because I know someday it won't be Jean-Jean and Christy no more. That will be them taking that ministry and carrying it on. So we want to thank you so much for that. We started with K to
preschool
and first grade. That's a two. Yeah. Now we are up to 10th grade. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just got to say thank you, too, for the sponsorships that Beersford takes care of. You guys are over 50 kids, and you've been doing it for so many years. I don't know. I wish all those kids could come here and thank you. They would love that. I wish I could tell you what a difference it has made in their lives. When we say our mission is to teach the words of God, that's our first mission, but we see that we need to equip national leaders as well. And that's equipping them in different skills and in different different education so that they can go out and teach the words of God in whatever way God wants them to. They can be pastors, but they can be doctors and teachers and engineers, everything. So they were just equipped to do that. Had a chance, again, just kind of show you how God works. Did I ever think we would have Lego League? Does anybody know what Lego League, you guys have Lego League around here? It is this awesome program where you're teaching kids to use STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, develop those things by building robots out of Legos and learning the programming and coding on tablets or computers to run those robots. And My kids in Central Plateau of Haiti, how in the world would they ever get a chance to do that? Somehow, definitely God, this one lady got in touch with me, and we started a Lego program. My kids, I could brag about them forever. They just took to it like that. They're so smart, and they're so ready for something like that. Because of the political turmoil, we're not going to be able to do this competition, which they do. They do competitions regionally, and then you can go overseas and internationally. We were supposed to do it this year. It looks like it's not going to happen. That's in God's timing, too. That's fine. We have plenty more time to learn more about programming and coding. But next year, we'll be starting the first Haitian Lego League competition. If that's not God, I don't know what is.
Then, if you tell us today we'll have like a university, it's just crazy. And then, again, like the earthquakes happen, and we may learn you, one of the board members of UCI never passed third grade, the board member. And he was sitting down there and said, you guys go to school, the university, seminary, and all of those things. If there is any way, like, because we got six young people that died in Port-au-Prince learning like computer science and other things. And then in our church, we got six bodies, six coffins, so that we need to do those funerals. And then this member of that elder say, hey, if there was any way we can get the post-high school graduates to go to somewhere and study. And I said, brother, you don't know how much that cost. That costs so much money, you know, human resources, you get all of those things, professors, and there was no way, And then while praying, there was a guy from San Jose, California that came, and then that both were praying, and then hear from their hearts, this is what's going on. He said, I'll bring that back to my church. I know there was money to do those kind of stuff. And they said, do not tell anybody, I'll go back and talk to the elders there, because I'm a pastor of that church, I know. And then he get money and build that school. And today we offer like a theology, because our the Bible is the key for us, the number one thing that we do, and medicine, agriculture, and all of those things. And we can take every one of those degrees, see how God changed people's life. Like that today, the theology school, if we are not here for like the sabbatical year, the students that graduated there, they are the ones taking our place. 12 of them getting together said, well, we are running that ministry. And this is what we wanted to see happen. And we have the 17 new churches being planted now, not by John and Chrissy no more, by those young people. So God is at work. And we just graduated our 14 med students that become doctors today. It's crazy. And then, but that one thing, before you graduate, you need to get 14 credit hours of Bible before you go somewhere. Because you can be a doctor, and the Bible will be in your hand. Meanwhile, treating people like physically, spiritually, talk to them about their lives. So this is what the Lord has done.
No questions yet? We're almost getting out of time here, but a couple more things. But don't remember if you have questions or anything. That was a picture of some agriculture slides and everything. Our college, our university that we have, we don't want it just to be good enough for Haiti. We don't want it just to be good enough for a third world country. We want it to be quality education, raising up students that will bring the vision of what we did, what happened in Haiti and UCI. It wasn't because of a method. It wasn't because of two people. It would happen because God had a plan, and God has a plan everywhere, right? And we started with nothing. We tell the same story, the same background. We tell the same story to our students in the university and to any Haitians that come through. Because they might be tempted to come here and say, look at everything and say, oh, wow, look at all this American dollars. That's what happened here. No, it was God's plan that developed us. And that can happen other places, too. So we get not only the education we want to give these students, we also want to give them the Christian motivation. God has a plan. Go out and start. Now you're equipped with education and skills. Go out and start something. It could be so small. It could be just looking through all the kids in your neighborhood and seeing if they have signs of malnutrition, if you're a doctor. It's going out there and starting a community garden, if you're an agriculturalist. It's going out, preaching under a mango tree, if you have to. See what God can do afterwards. See what he will do. That is what we want to teach these students. God will do this. And to us, it's not going to be a change in administration. We have lots of problems with our government this past year in Haiti. It's not a change in administration. That might help. God might use that. It's not millions and billions of dollars coming in. Haiti's been the recipient of international aid, the highest recipient, for years. Things haven't changed. It's not the dollars that's going to change things. People's hearts changing at the grassroots levels, that's how we see change can happen sustainably. We also do a lot with community development. Our community development, just for time-wise, we'll just keep kind of short. But for us, anything we do, putting in wells, we have a cool program with Hy-Vee right now, Hy-Vee's one-step program. We are recipients of the one-step program, and we're putting in 15 different wells. Cool, very cool. Drink water at Hy-Vee, that's awesome. It's going for water in Haiti and in Africa too. There's latrines. Putting in cement floors. We've had over 790 cement floors put in people's houses. When Janjan came here and someone introduced him or brought him to like a hog confinement place, and he's like, wow, even the hogs have cement floors. And the people in my place, they're in the dirt and the mud when it rains. We got to do something. Houses, complete houses, going to school, feeding kids, nutrition centers. Those are wonderful things. We love those things, and they're good, but they are just a way for us to preach the gospel. They're a way. We see so many times we go to a witch doctor's house and put in a cement floor because we don't discriminate, and they'll say, this is cool you're doing. So Jean-Jean, why are you doing this? That question of why. Feeding these kids in nutrition centers, parents coming up saying, Jean-Jean, why are you feeding my kids? I don't go to your church. I don't go to church at all. And then there's that opening to say, we would love to tell you why. We do it because God loves you, and he wants you to know him more. All those different things. It's a cool ministry, and we just love that part of it.
Yeah, our time is done, but that was 3 words I want you to learn with me today is that, because this is what we see happening there, and it can happen in wherever you live, in Sioux Falls, in Beresford, wherever. It's prayer, number one thing you do for your community. Caring, this is the second thing, and then share. Prayer, care, and share. Because if you pray for your neighbor, you care for them. They will know that you care. And then it's much easier to share the gospel. You pray, you care, and then sharing. Because I know, like in the US, probably like that people get everything that they need or want, probably difficult to preach the gospel. But as soon as you start caring for somebody, they know for sure there is more than that. And then will be the time to share the gospel. So, yeah, we want to say thank you to you all and for listening to us. And thank you for being part of this ministry. And if you have any questions, we got only 5 minutes to all the 5 minutes for you.
If there's, you keep thinking about your questions and everything, but I will talk about the third mission for us. Our mission goal was to teach the words of God, equip national leaders, and then also to unite Christians around the world. Thus, we're called United Christians International. We want to be very intentional about that. And one of the ways we can do that is have short-term mission teams come in. You guys have sent many people down. We have sent many people down to Haiti. I truly believe, and I hear all the time, that it changes their lives. And I can tell you from in Haiti's point of view, too, many Haitian brothers and sisters welcome that. We had a bad year this year with political riots and violence, and we've had to stop some teams coming. So we usually have about 40 teams that come down because we really like teams. And then this past year, we only had 6. So I can tell you wholeheartedly, would I rather have teams or rather have teams stay home and send the money only? Oh, well, no, we'd rather have teams come. It's not about the money. It's about relationships being built. It's about bridging that gap, preaching to the nations. I can't bring, you see us here, we can't bring our Haiti board over here. We can't bring our Haiti professors and our students here because of visas and money and all those things. They want to know the nations. They want to know different people too. And they love having people come down there. It's an encouragement to all, life changing. Dean is going to come down in March. And I'll just put a plug in there. I should have asked Pastor John first, but... And we have teams where we just have teams come, people come from any different churches, and they come together to come down to a team. So we have one in the summer and one in the fall. If you're ever interested in that, love to have you down there. We try our best. We try our best to tell you what's going on down there with our pictures and everything, but that's not enough. We would love to have you come down and see and meet people too. Now, any questions at all? Otherwise.
Tell us about how and why you started the Christian Center. Way back to the beginning of the ministry there.
Yeah, that was a big one too. So we were in that time where we only had 3 months of support, right? I talked about that. Thought we, our men in our minds, were probably going to have to leave. Basically, just had enough money to feed ourselves. Well, we were just out walking about in the back, just real close to us, about 15-minute walk, not even. And we came across the Claude Zies' family. And Claude Zies, he and his wife had 4 kids and then 3 sets of twins. So 10 kids in all. Claude Zies was a big voodoo participant. They spent all their money making sure the witch doctor would protect them, spent all their money on different sacrifices and things like that. Kids weren't going to school and kids were starving. We could see that right in front of us because they were out in their kitchen area. And the house is there. I mean, Claude Zies' family of 10 kids and mom and dad was seriously from this pulpit to the little half wall there and where we're standing, maybe. And that was separated out into 4 little rooms and the kids on top of each other when they're sleeping. And no kitchen inside. The kitchen's outside, and it's 3 rocks on the ground. 3 rocks on the ground. They put the fire in there, and you put the big pot of rice and beans. Well, we were out there, and the kids were all out there, sitting around the fire. Fire's very cold. The pot is lit clean, but they all have plates in their hands, and they have ashes in these plates, and they're eating the ashes right in front of us. mouths ringed with the ashes. I had been there for a while. John Jin had grown up there. We knew this was happening. It wasn't so much this was happening, even though that breaks your heart. But for us, that one time, it just struck us both at the same time. God was saying, this is happening in your backyard. And I remember thinking and just praying about this, and what can we do? We have no money. We have nothing to do. How can we help? But God's saying, does God love you? Does God love your kids more than he loves these kids? And I remember John Jin shared with me, and he said, I'm feeding my kids 3 times a day. You know, nothing fancy, but I am feeding them. What about these kids? And both of us at the same time. It was the fact that God had called us to that area, and these desperate needs were happening. And did we believe God could provide? If we were going to go down there and preach, hey, God is the great Jehovah Jireh. He is going to provide for all your needs. If we're going to tell that to people who are in poverty, we have to believe it too. We have to believe he will provide. So we took some of our stipend and we started feeding kids. And we took the worst of the worst, red hair and bloated bellies, sticking limbs, the kwashiorkor, the protein malnutrition. And we started feeding the kids. At the same time, we said, okay, we're feeding the kids, but yet God said we need to teach the words of God. All right, let's teach the words of God. So we're telling these kids about Jesus. They've been at home in the voodoo community where Satan's saying, you are my horse, and I'm going to mount you, and I'm going to control you by the bit in your mouth, and I'm going to control everything about you, even when you can bathe. And then you come to here and hear about God loves you so much. You're my sons and my daughters. I sent my only son to die for you. Can you imagine the kids just bringing that in? They changed, started reading the Bible with us, singing songs, became happier, joyful kids. They go home, guess what? They're our first missionaries. They were our first missionaries in that we developed in Haiti. God wanted them to go to their parents. And then again, that same question, parents started coming up to us. John Jin, why are you feeding my kids? And why are they different? And just, now we do nutrition center. We have 9 nutrition centers in different communities. We don't even have it in our own place because we have the school now, and we have a lunch program with the school. But 9 different communities where we can feed people's kids, tell them about God, get into the community, and tell people we love you. We love you, and we want you to know about the truth. So we love our nutrition centers. Take this away from me. I talk too much.
And then thank you guys. Hope the Lord will continue to bless you and use you wherever he sees fit on the world. Thank you for being here this morning.